Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 6 and stand with me. Thankful for all of you who are here tonight. I do want to mention Brother AJ to you tonight. He has gotten a job over by Russellville and is staying over that way. And he wanted me to let you guys know that he misses you. He's praying for you. And we miss him too. So maybe he'll watch and just make odd comments on the live stream since he's not here in person to do it, but do pray for him, and as he seeks to continue to follow God and be a provider for his son and do the things that God's called him to do. So but as we approach the word of God tonight, we're learning about prayer still, and we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. Let's pray, and then we'll read together. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to gather with the saints. I pray that you'll bless everything that we do here tonight. I pray that Christ has been and will be magnified, and God, that your name will be glorified. You are great, greater than we can ever know in this life, and greater than we can imagine, and yet you still love us. You have still come down low to be one of us, to die for all of us, so that all who believe would be saved. And just thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Please bless your word in spite of me. Convict us. Lord, none of us pray the way that we ought to, as fervently, as biblically, as lovingly, as faithfully as we could. So help us to learn how to pray. Help us to learn to pray. And let us be men and women and boys and girls who are faithful in prayer, and that we see you work and move and do great things because we trust in you and because we pray. Please bless your word now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. When we pray, our desire in the way Jesus taught us to pray is that we would want God's will to be done. So the last time we were here, we talked last Wednesday, we talked about praying sincerely, praying under Christ's authority, praying spiritually. Tonight we begin with praying submissively and obediently. And when we pray, we want God's will to be done. Prayer, true biblical prayer, seeks God's will above our own. It's not the idea of me trying to get my will done in heaven, but God's will done on earth. It isn't about me trying to convince God to do what I want him to do, but it's about me aligning myself with what God wants to be done. Prayer is bringing our desires to God, but submitting ourselves to his perfect will. And we know that if Jesus prayed this way, we have to pray this way. Amen. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, the Bible says, "And he, Jesus, went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Now, I just want you to pay attention to so much. We've talked about being submissive and all these things, but the Lord Jesus himself fell on his face to pray. That ought to tell us something. And we ought not be standing on street corners saying, "Look at me. Look at how spiritual I am." Jesus would fall on his face before the Father. How should we come? He prayed saying, "Not my will, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And that's pretty astounding to think of, because Jesus is God. Amen. He and the Father are one. But we know that when he came to this earth, he emptied himself of his prerogatives. He restrained himself from using all of his ability as God. He never stopped being God. But there was something that he did that caused him to live this life where he had to call on the Father to get his will done. Amen. Now, I don't understand that. I just know that he is our example, and nobody ever submitted more than Jesus did. No prayer has ever been more submissive than the prayer of our Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he agonized before his Father, he yielded to his will. And friends, if Jesus could have an idea of what was coming and submit to the will of the Father, how much more should we? Amen. You say, "Well, I don't know what's going to happen." Yeah, I don't either, but he does. Amen. And I can trust him. His way's better. You guys believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that all the time?
Amen.
I would love to stand here and say that I always really truly believe that His way's better, but I'm going to tell you, there's moments when I think my way's best. Now, that's not smart. It's not wise, not right. What we ought to know is that His way is always better. 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandment and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. We're talking about being submissive and obedient. Obedience is critical for answered prayers.
Amen.
If you are rebellious in your life and your attitudes, then praying isn't really going to do much for you. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, this can't mean that we have to be perfect and sinless, because none of us would ever achieve, and God would never answer any of our prayers. I'm just telling you this, if your heart is, I'm going to do what I want to do no matter what God says, He's probably not going to be inclined to answer your prayers.
Amen.
So we have to come with obedience. Rebellion and praying don't go together. Now, we don't obey so that God's going to do what we want. This is not bargaining with God. It's just the reality that a true heart that desires God's will is going to move God.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. God is moved by our prayers.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, you ought to read your Bible or pay attention. We heard testimony tonight where God answered prayer. You've seen Him do things, and you can go all through the Scriptures and see where God did things because His people prayed.
Amen.
Now, there's going to come a point, if you haven't reached it in your Christian life, one of these days it's going to dawn on you that God already knows the end from the beginning. And there's going to be a temptation in your life to say, well, if God already knows what He's going to do, and He's going to do what He's going to do anyway, what's the point in praying? And I want to make sure you get this. You should pray because God said so.
Amen.
And it really doesn't need more than that. But in case you're stubborn and rebellious and you need a little more, read your Bible and look at all the examples of people who prayed.
Amen.
And if the Lord Jesus, knowing that He was going to the cross, yet He still prayed, you should too.
Amen. Amen.
Don't get tripped up by the fact that God's sovereign. Don't let that cause you to be disobedient. How silly is that? God's sovereign and He knows what He's going to do, so I'm going to disobey Him? It's a bad idea.
Amen.
Pray submissively. Pray obediently. Number nine. By the way, we're on number nine. If you missed the other ones, I'll try to fill you in later. Number nine, pray faithfully.
Amen.
Pray faithfully. This includes praying persistently, constantly, watchfully. All of these ideas are biblical ideas. Matthew 21:22, Jesus says, in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Faithful prayer believes God. It trusts in His power. It trusts in His promises. It believes in His wisdom and His goodness. And we ought to pray believing. Now, what is it that we believe? I believe that God's going to do whatever I want Him to do, or I believe that God is going to do what is best.
Amen.
Now, somebody in the room might criticize me and say, listen, if you're not praying believing God's going to do exactly what you say, then you're not praying with faith. I'm just going to tell you this. I'm going to pray the best I know how, but I'm going to ask for His will to be done, and I'm going to believe that He's going to do better than what I can think or imagine. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We want to pray, nothing wavering. Believe. And I don't know if you have experienced this or not, but sometimes I have to wrestle with myself to believe. Like, I want to believe. Like, I know God's able. But I'm praying and I'm asking God to do something that I know and believe is His will, and I'm praying about it, and I know that He is able, I know He's capable, but in the back of my mind I got these doubts, but will He? He probably won't. He might not. Like, and I have to wrestle with my doubts. What is that? Well, it's wavering.
Amen.
And He says, don't do that. Just believe. And when those doubts come, you replace those doubts with the Word of God. God has said, so I'm going to believe Him. We studied a week or two ago about the centurion whose servant was sick, and he sent some people to get Jesus. And when Jesus was coming, he went out to him and said, "I'm not even worthy that you would come under my roof." He's like, "I understand something about authority. I have authority. I tell this guy to go here, and he goes, and this guy to do this, and he does it. And I know if you'll just say the word, my servant will be healed." This man had great faith. So much that Jesus was astonished, like, I don't even know if there's this kind of faith in Israel. Of course, we know God knows, but you get the point. He's amazed. He's astounded at this Roman's faith. The man had faith. He believed, and he had no doubt that Jesus was able. And I believe that's key. Now, did he know that Jesus would do it? No, but he knew that he was able. Believe. Is there anything too hard for God? Listen, I don't always say a lot of things that are easy for you to amen and everybody to agree on, but let me try that one more time. Is there anything too hard for God?
No.
No. And it's easy to sit back and amen that, but when you get a situation that looks impossible, it's a lot harder.
Amen.
That's why it's called faith. So we pray faithfully. We ought to pray persistently along with those lines. It's persistent. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke 18:1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, for this reason, that men ought always to pray and not to faint."
Amen.
Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We have to keep on praying, keep on depending, keep on calling on God, not fainting, not quitting, not trying to find answers or solutions on our own.
Amen.
Just keep trusting God. How many times in your Bible do you see people, God gives them a promise, he tells them to wait, and they get tired of waiting? Abraham and Sarah, the first example that I think of,
Amen.
Got tired of waiting on God. Don't stop praying.
Amen.
Just keep praying. And you get panicky sometimes. You get a little, like, I got to do something because God's not done anything yet. That's not a good place to be. Just keep praying.
Amen.
Now, you got to do, you know, there's a time to get up off your face and do something.
Amen.
Joshua teaches us that. Like, God says, get up, there's sin in the camp. You got to do something. But when you're waiting for God to give an answer, keep waiting, keep praying. Don't stop praying.
Amen.
Be persistent. Be persistent. And you remember that parable in Luke 18. She was begging for this man to avenge her. He didn't honor God. He didn't care about people. But he was weary with her. I'm going to answer her just so she'll leave me alone. And so hey, kids, listen. When you keep going to your parents and bugging them about the same thing over and over and over, that probably won't go well with you. You can pray that way, but don't ask mom and dad like that. Because they're not as long-suffering as God is. Not nearly as patient as God is. Amen? Now, guys, listen. Jesus literally teaches us to pray like that. To pray with importunity. To keep knocking on the door. To keep saying, I need your help, I need your help, I need your help. Hey, you got to get up and help me, right? And the man gets up to help his friend, not because of his need, but because of his importunity, because of his insistence, because he just won't leave him alone. And the Lord wants you to pray like that.
Amen.
He does. And I listen to me. If he gets sick and tired of you praying, he'll deal with you. But he's taught you to do that. So do it. Pray persistently. Okay. All right. This is a memory test for you, Bible verse, memory people. Ready? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, man, that's a good one, isn't it? Pray without ceasing. Or we might say, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Some of you guys testified, and I think I said it earlier too, that sometimes I got something on my heart. I don't even voice a prayer. And God's so good, he'll answer that sometimes.
Amen.
But guys, we got to pray and never stop praying. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. We're to pray constantly, watchfully. Watchful prayer is alert. It pays attention. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That means that I got to be alert. I got to be vigilant. I got to be like the guy on guard duty. I got to be paying attention to what's going on. So this kind of prayer pays attention to temptation. And I ought to pray about that. It pays attention to needs or opportunities or burdens. It pays attention to what's going on and turns everything into prayer. I mean, I just can't think of a situation that we shouldn't pray about. You're driving down the road, you see somebody changing a tire, you can pray for them. If you can't stop and help, you can pray. You see a car wreck or you see an ambulance going down the road, you can pray. You don't have any idea what's going on. There's nothing you can physically do, but you can pray.
Amen.
Flooding in another place in the world, you can pray. Stories of missionaries in another place in the world, you can pray. Families, we hear requests here all the time, families who are sick or hurting, who have lost loved ones. I don't even know them, but I hear. So if I'm watchful in prayer, I can pray. I can pray. Number 10, pray repentantly. Somebody can correct my grammar later if repentantly is not a word. But in my world, you can add L-Y to the end of almost anything. Make it a word. Repentantly. All right, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Repentant prayer does not hide sin. It doesn't excuse sin. It doesn't minimize sin. It doesn't blame shift. It confesses sin honestly before God. And if you want to have your prayers answered, you need to deal with sin in your life. Write this down if you don't, if you're a highlighter or note taker. Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18. If you don't know this one, you need to know it. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That ought to make you tremble.
Amen.
I've been reading in the Old Testament about Saul and David and that time when God wasn't listening to Saul anymore. And I want to tell you, just reading that, I know sometimes we're just really down on Saul, whatever, but it is terrifying to me. Can you imagine being in that place where at one time God spoke to you, you had communion with God, you had fellowship with God, and then it's broken off?
Amen.
That's horrifying. Right. To be in a place where you can't even pray and God hear you.
Amen.
Now, I know the Spirit lives in us. I know that our situation today is different than it was in Saul's day. I understand that, but I'm just telling you that I have experienced in my Christian life those times when I was not in good fellowship with God and my prayers were hindered. And it's a miserable way to live. If you have unconfessed or unrepented sin in your life, you are regarding iniquity. What it means is you are holding on to your iniquity. You're putting your iniquity, your sin, above your relationship with God.
Amen.
I'm holding on to my sin, but I'm asking for God to bless. Not going to work.
Right.
So I have to confess my sin. I think we're pretty good at hiding sin. I think we're good at hiding it from each other. I think we're really good in the church at pretending like things are okay when they're not okay. I think we're very skilled at masquerading and pretending. But I'm going to tell you this, you're not fooling God.
Amen.
You can fool your spouse. You can fool your parents or your children. You can fool everybody in the church, but you're never going to trick him.
Amen.
And why are we so afraid to confess before God what he already knows? Why? Why would you hold on to that? I'm crazy enough to think that everybody in this room sins every day.
Amen.
I just honestly, maybe you're offended by that, but I'm just telling you, I don't think one of us got up this morning and has made it to this point in our day without sinning.
Amen.
I think probably all of us have had a wrong thought, done something wrong, failed to do something right.
Amen.
Like either something we did or didn't do, like somewhere along the way, I have not lived perfectly before Christ today.
Amen.
And you understand that that means that every one of us have something to confess before God. But hear me out. How many days? Like, it's Wednesday, so we get church night, right? But how many Wednesdays have you come and you've listened, you've been convicted, and when you've had opportunity to pray and repent, you didn't, and you just went on home. And you go to bed, and you just go to sleep, and everything, you just keep on holding on to that sin. But guys, it doesn't have to be a church night. It's every day. I've woken up convicted about the things I dreamed and asked God to forgive me. Anybody else done that? And then I think later, well, that's like I didn't have any control over what I did in my dream, but I wake up feeling guilty about it. So sometimes I start my day, Lord, forgive me for what I dreamed about, and I sure got to ask for forgiveness for the rest of the day. Somebody, I heard a sermon years ago that stuck with me, and it said, keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. And maybe you don't understand what that means, but what it means is this. The idea being that I've got an account before God, and God's keeping up with my sin. And it's on my ledger. And I don't want to keep it on my ledger. The cool thing about it is the only way to take that sin off my ledger is to ask God. Confess my sin, and he cleanses it.
Right?
Like he washes it. He takes it away. And what you want to do is be quick to get rid of that. Don't keep it on your ledger.
Amen.
So when you mess up, fess up and be quick about it. If you said, thought, or did something you shouldn't have done today, you need to confess your sin before God tonight.
Amen.
If you failed to do something that God told you to do, convicted you to do, or you just know from the Bible is what you ought to do, and you didn't do it, you ought to ask God to forgive you. You ought to confess that tonight. We're never going to experience revival. We're never going to be the kind of church God wants us to be. We're never going to be disciples who make disciples if we're unwilling to repent.
Amen.
Acts 3:19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And I want you to get this. When you got saved, you repented and trusted in Christ. But repentance isn't a one-time thing.
Right.
It's a daily thing. It's a moment-by-moment thing.
Amen.
We've got a problem as people sometimes. We think we can't do anything wrong. If you think you have nothing to repent of, if you think you have nothing to repent of, you probably have a seared conscience. The scriptures warn against having a conscience seared as with a hot iron. You guys get that right? When I say seared, you think steak, preach. Right? The first thing you think of is when something's seared, you take a steak and you sear it, it's really hot, right? What happens is the outside of that steak gets hard and sealed up, right? And in that case, it's good. It's good to sear a steak. But have any of you ever been seared or got something hot where it scarred you? Anybody ever had that happen?
Amen.
And initially, it really hurts, but at some point, that's going to scar, and that's going to be hard, and it's going to not be sensitive anymore. Okay, and what God's telling you is you could do that to your conscience. You could do that to your heart to where you don't even feel the need for repentance. You don't feel the need for change. Repentance, remember, it means a change of mind. We all need repentance. We all need to change. And if we think that we're in a position where we don't need change, then you must already be exactly like Jesus. And if you think tonight that you're exactly like Jesus, friend, you are delusional.
Amen.
We don't measure up. We fall short. So I have to admit before God when I've sinned. I have to confess my sins. And guys, 1 John 1:9 is so glorious. He is faithful and just. Amen. How many times will he forgive you? There's no limit. What if it's the same stupid sin over and over? What if I have to ask for forgiveness for the same sin like 7 times in a day? Well, I'm going to be really embarrassed and ashamed, but you know what? He'll forgive me every time. And he's just. Oh, how could he forgive me? How could he forgive me for the same thing over and over? How could he forgive me though he's been so good to me and I keep rebelling against him? How could he be so good to keep forgiving me? Because he's just.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ paid the price.
Amen.
And there's no sin too great. So we need to pray. And when we pray, we need to pray repentantly.
Amen.
We need to come before him and say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Confess before the Lord. Let's pray together as we come to the close. Maybe tonight you got something you need to bring to God in prayer. And you got an opportunity to right now to do that. Right where you're at. To confess what you did wrong, what you didn't do right. Where your heart's not right. Where your thoughts aren't right. You got an opportunity right now to be cleansed completely from all unrighteousness. So do it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy, and I pray that you will forgive me. I know that I have failed you today. I have had thoughts that I shouldn't have. I've said things that I shouldn't say. I failed to do good things that I had opportunity to do, and I pray, dear Lord, that you will forgive me and cleanse me. And I pray for all of us in this room and those watching online that every one of us in this moment would be real and honest before you, that we'll confess our faults, and we'll submit ourselves to your will, and we will seek by your grace and the power of your Spirit to do what is right in your eyes and not our own. Please help us to be a people who are quick to repent, to keep short accounts with you, and to live a life that will glorify you. Even in praying, God, we fall short. We don't pray with faith. We don't pray consistently, faithfully, persistently, in all the ways that you've taught us to. Lord, we fall short. So help us. Help us to be a praying church marked by dependence completely on you, marked by faith, trusting that you are able, marked by a desire for your will to be done and not our own. Forgive us, cleanse us, and help us. I pray that you'll bless this church in spite of me, in spite of each one of us and our failures, that your grace and your glory will be known here and your will would be accomplished in every life. Please forgive, please bless, and help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your time and attention. Let's stand together.